Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today, I will be interviewing Jasmine Tarany. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Now, I've been to a few countries myself over the years from my time being in the military, but I understand that you are a world traveler as well and been to quite a few countries. What are some of your favorite countries that you've visited so far?
Ooh, good question. So I have been to, probably over 65 different countries, and we've always traveled. You know, that was part of our family bonding time, and we would go to really off the beaten path experiences and live in locals in the villages and the tribes. But three of the biggest life-changing experiences have been going to Papua New Guinea, which is a country over by Australia, New Zealand, and it's one of the most primitive places on the planet, where they didn't see white people until I think about 25 years ago, and that they still had cannibalism until between like 50 and 25 years ago. So it's super tribal, and we stayed in the villages with the locals, and it's just incredible to witness what life is like there. And also Bhutan, which is they don't have gross domestic product. They have gross national happiness. They base their country's success on how happy their people are. So it's a very spiritual place where the air feels so fresh that you wanted to eat it, or I did. It just was like the most delicious air I've ever experienced. And Cuba actually felt like being on the moon. You know, I live in Miami and it's just a half hour flight, and I couldn't feel more isolated from the world. And so that was a really powerful experience for me as well.
Oh, cool. I spent about 3 years in Cuba.
So. Whoa. Okay. So you know way more about Cuba than I do.
Yeah. I spent about 3 years there. So
what were you doing?
I was in the military there. So
wow.
I was there so long. Yeah. So I definitely understand what you're saying. So I know these different countries is so interesting. I really love embracing the culture of different countries, because oftentimes it's so much different than what I'm accustomed to and how I was raised. So I remember, not even in a different country, but I remember my interaction with one of my peers while in the military. When I grew up, I listened to primarily rap music and R&B. So that's all I was accustomed to. And he was a white guy, Caucasian guy. And he called me. He was like, look, come over here. I want you to listen to something. And I was like, what? And he was like, rock. And I was like, rock. I was like, get out of here. Because my idea of rock was like hardcore, clamorous.
Yeah. So, right.
My limited view, right? So
right.
He was like, no. It's not like that. He said the soft rock. So I came over and, you know, I listened and I was like, oh my God, it really changed my perception, because it sounded so good and rhythmic. That encounter opened my mind up even more, and it expanded my music taste, and it just evolved over the years. So the same thing could happen local as well if we open our minds and our hearts up.
It's so true. I think I always talk about, when people ask me what I like about traveling, it's because I like the version of me that exists when I'm traveling, and I'm always trying to bring that version into my day-to-day life. But when I'm traveling, it's everything is an adventure, right? If you get lost, if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what's going to happen, if something challenging, it's all an adventure and it's all a new experience. And therefore it's interesting and perhaps fun, or there's something exciting about all of the nuances of the discomforts. Whereas I think in our day-to-day life, we don't get to experience all of those little moments with the same bright-eyed, bushy-tailed enjoyment.
True, it becomes frustration in our daily lives because we're trying to get to point A to point B.
Exactly. And instead of enjoying the journey, I mean, I keep coming back to it's not the journey, it's not the destination, it's the journey. I keep every day I'm like, oh yeah, still the journey, not the destination, just the journey. There's no destination. You're never done. Go enjoy.
Yeah. Isn't that powerful that there is literally no stopping place? It's
No.
just a continuum on and on and on. So it's important to just to embrace the moments of life and taste that richness. So I
And I
definitely.
think, yeah, no, I think that that's the thing that I work with high achievers, right? So I work with people who are very achievement oriented, and that's surprise, not surprisingly, but that I guess is the shift that we're always working on, right? Is that the real, truest success is how much did you enjoy your moments, right? Like, who cares what you achieved if you suffered the entire time? Like, how much did you enjoy being alive? And really experience, and not even enjoy, but experience being alive fully versus just go, 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 go.
Yeah, I agree. Because I remember I was just talking about this with someone. I remember as a kid, the sun seemed to shine so bright, so much brighter versus being adult. And the birds, even though the birds are chirping every day, I don't hear them as an adult versus being a kid because I was able to extract more and be in the moment. And noticing that is a great thing because then I can do something about it, like you said, and remember to be, it's the journey and be within that space that we can really enjoy life and be at peace.
And to let that be enough. I think
Yes.
that we live in a society that has really capitalized on the not enough voice that we all have in our head. And so that there's always this not enough, not enough, not enough, not enough voice that's driving everything. And essentially when we're chasing, I always think of it like a Pac-Man in our heads, you know, like no, more, 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 you know, and we're always chasing whatever it is that Pac-Man thinks that it wants. And the real success is the realizing that that Pac-Man isn't my truest voice, and I'm not going to listen to it and just keep chasing whatever it thinks that it needs, because ultimately that's not what I truly
True. Yeah, we don't require much as humans to tell the
need.
truth. We don't really need a lot, but just society makes us feel that we need the next iPhone, we need the next this,
And we're all chasing significance. You know, we all want to feel significant on some level, and it's a human need, but the way that we as a society are doing it, I think, is really dysfunctional to humankind and to our children and to ourselves, because we've made it okay to just be selfish.
Yeah, true, true. So I know you help high achievers. Are you a high achiever as well? Have you been someone who has always strived to just be on the top?
I think on some level that yes, I would probably be considered to be a high achiever in the not normal societal terms, right? And I now consider myself a recovering perfectionist, which is essentially this realization that I am enough. And that you are enough, and that chasing, really living from an abundance mindset of knowing that and believing that and feeling really aware and grateful for it is the only path to real success and real achievement is the overflow. It can't, I'm calling it satisfied ambition, right? Is understanding that where I am is exactly where I need to be and is enough. Right now, in this moment, and it will always be enough. It's exactly what I need. And so, whatever ambitions that I have that are beyond this moment, are for the fun of the growth or the fun of the evolution or the fun of the journey and the enjoyment of it versus the winning and the getting there.
True. That's powerful. And, you know, when you were speaking, I thought of R&B singer Whitney Houston. But she passed away. But Kevin Costner eulogized a portion of her, the whatever they had, memorial service that they had, funeral. Mm-hmm. And he said one thing in particular, he said, that continued to ring out from all of the things he said. He talked about her having the insecurities that we all have. And he said that, in essence, he said, when she gets to heaven, he said, not to worry, you're good enough.
Oh my God, I got goosebumps. Yeah.
Yeah, just like you were saying, it's good enough.
Right.
So we're good enough without all of the other stuff.
Well, and I think to really believe that is the challenge, right? And what does it take to actually believe that and to know that when you're busy comparing yourself to Instagram, we compare ourselves, our insides, to other people's outsides, and then we always lose. Or we compare ourselves to others and we win. But either way, when we're doing the comparison, then we're judging somebody, you know, we're either judging ourselves or judging others. And that's part of that unconscious negative kind of spiral of that Pac-Man mind that we all have. And I know you work a lot with that subconscious mind.
Yes, definitely. Because we have to really take note of it and gain that that inner satisfaction. Because as you said, when we're comparing ourselves to an outside appearance of someone else, that's not an accurate comparison.
Mm-mm.
Even if we feel that we achieve it, there's always something we feel that's lacking. So right. That's why it's important I tell clients, it's important to live inside out, not outside
right.
in. I think this
I love
movie,
that.
I think it was this movie, Inside Out. I've never seen it yet.
But I show popular. My kids all the time. Literally, we talk about it. It's one of my favorites. I'm like the queen of giving my kids the inner tools. That's a great one.
Yes. So it's definitely important to live inside out. What made you, what path did you take to becoming a therapist? What made you go in that route?
Can I answer that in one question? I have one in one moment. I have a thought from what you just said before.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
The thing that I think is really interesting about our profession as therapists and people who support other people's inner journey, I think is something that people miss out on, which is that we get to hear about people's inner experience. And particularly for me, working with super high achievers, people who are outwardly very successful, and realizing that everybody's got something is so humanizing, you know, and hearing that about Whitney Houston, and just realizing that nobody is there. Nobody has achieved it. Nobody has gotten past having some level of inner challenge, right? And having uncomfortable feelings. And we're all doing these things in our lives and go and search and next or whatever, because we think that it's going to appease the pain and the struggle and the challenges and the uncomfortable feelings that we have inside of us. And when we realize that being human means that we're going to have those feelings regardless, and our truest success is learning how to love them and take care of them and become a parent to them, then we're truly free, right? But when we think that other people have solved that and that there is a way to be done and never have that issue again, then we're always searching, because we think that there's something that other people have gotten to that isn't actually accurate.
True, because when you were just speaking about that, a thought came to my mind that in every human is like a mountainous region, because we have some highs, some things that we do mm-hmm. excellent, like an mm-hmm. entertainer per se, they may be the mm-hmm. best singer, but then there's some valleys in there, self-esteem, and it's just all over the place. There are different things that make up that person. Just because there's a high level of excellence in one area,
right.
there's a deficiency in another until we grow and evolve.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so then to answer your question about how did I get into this is that, so I grew up in a home that was far from ordinary. Most my friends lovingly referred to it as Willy Wonka's factory. So, I mean, my mailbox was shaped like a big pink heart. Every cabinet on the counter in the kitchen was a different pastel color. There were wall hangings of ice cream sundaes and illuminated signs of love and hot pink leather couches. I mean, it was just kind of this love bubble. And it was really the manifestation of my mom's commitment to live from love. And my mom, I mean, my dad was in the picture too, but she was the pilot. He was definitely the co-pilot of the home. And but for her, she was really committed to being love and just being that vessel for that divine love to come through her. And she was a meditator, meditated for an hour every day and highly connected to her own spiritual journey. And for me growing up in this home, I was very aware of how unique it was and how rare it was. And everyone always wanted to be at my house and talk to my mom. And, you know, all my teenage friends would always share all their struggles with her. And it was always this really beautiful, warm place. But I think on some level, I felt like I didn't earn it. I felt like I didn't deserve it. I felt guilty that, you know, I just got lucky. And essentially, through growing up, I mean, there's various parts of my journey, but through growing up, what I realized was is that being in this home, as lovely and warm and accepting and connected and conscious as it was, I still didn't really know how to deal with my pain, and I felt guilty having pain. I was aware of the world. I had traveled, you know, I understood poverty and all these things, and so I always felt guilty that I suffered. Right. And so I had an at least mentality. Well, at least I'm healthy. At least I have running water. At least I have clean air, you know. And so what happened was I started really avoiding my pain and thinking that I shouldn't feel pain and I shouldn't feel uncomfortable because I had all these things to be grateful for. And so eventually it came out in my own eating issues and body image issues through my adolescence and early 20s. And I started realizing through my own therapy and my own journey that all of these issues came from not dealing with my pain because I thought that I shouldn't have it and there was something wrong with it. And so that's really been my commitment to not only loving and accepting myself and my uncomfortable feeling, but helping other people do the same. And essentially, the story has evolved. You know, I became a licensed mental health counselor in 2007. I've had a private practice, a virtual practice. I see people virtually since then. But in the last 5 years, my career has evolved a bit in that my mom actually died in a car accident.
Wow.
And yeah, and so it was obviously the most traumatic experience that I had ever encountered or experienced. And I was forced to really deal with pain and sadness and darkness that I had never fathomed before. I mean, my mom was my everything, my best friend, my everything. And so for me, it was a beautiful opportunity to really use all the tools that I had been cultivating and helping people with, and to really be with my own darkness in ways that I had never had to before. And then on the actual anniversary of my mom's death, so 1 year later to the day, my mom died on January 22nd, 2015. On January 22nd, 2016, my daughter was born. So that magical moment was really an awakening for me, and I realized that guilt that I had felt and that I didn't deserve this beautiful upbringing and thinking that something that I was just lucky, in fact, was inaccurate, and that I did deserve it, but that everybody deserves it, and all children deserve it, and that part of my mission is to help children be able to be loved that way, with that connection and that consciousness and that acceptance, And the only way that it really happens is when parents are doing it for themselves. When parents are doing that inner work for themselves, are the only time that they can show up for their kids with that kind of presence. So that's where my mommy book came from, was through that experience of losing my mom and having these reflections about the type of parent that I want to be for my children.
Wow, Jasmine, that's a story and a half. I mean, that sounds like a beautiful upbringing that, you know, your parents were able to give you, because they were doing, it's your mom in particular, because she was the catalyst to do the, and demonstrate for you to do the inner work and live from that space. And you said she meditated an hour each day or morning?
Every day, a full hour. And then after we were out of the house, it was 2 hours a day. She would wake up early. She'd go to bed late. She would find times, like we'd be in the airport and she would sit and meditate, or, you know, like as kids, we always knew that like mom's meditating, you give her, leave her alone. Yeah, it was. And my mother, I mean, anybody who knew her, that when she passed, we had three different memorials where everyone came and talked about her. And she was just love incarnated, like this joyful presence of pure conscious love. I mean, she's just love incarnated. And, you know, being able to have had that type of, to be able to be the recipient of that type of love has been, you know, the everything, right? It's the bane. We're all products of the way that our parents love us. But I know that whenever I question myself, I always come back to realizing that I'm the product of this woman, and really honoring like how powerful and beautiful it is, because it wasn't an accident that she showed up as she did, because she was always doing the work.
Wow. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, because of her love, now your daughter, you were a recipient, and then you pass it along to your daughter, and it just continues to evolve.
Exactly, exactly. But I think that's the interesting thing, right? I have a son as well, and I think that dysfunction goes from generations, right? As you look from generation to generation, generation is like, hopefully you're evolving, but the pain from all these generations goes through. But it was interesting is having, after my uncle, my mom's brother, read my book, he's like, oh, my mom did those things too. And so did my grandma. Like, it was interesting to realize that I came from this lineage of healthy, functional, self-aware, independent mothers who knew how to really be present to their children. And I realized that I don't want to just stop in, to just only continue in my lineage. I don't want it to just be my kids who get it. I think that there's a whole world of people who aren't getting those role models, and the poor kids who need them and who deserve it.
Yeah, I agree, because there are more stories about the dysfunctional things that happens, and there are a lot, you know, of dysfunction, but it's a bright sunshine to hear about the good too. So.
Right? I mean, I think that's part of what has made me feel insecure, right? Is that all you hear is the dysfunction, and all of the stories of triumph is, well, then this guy was beaten up by his parents, and this girl was molested, and all of these like horrific, painful things. And why is it that that's the norm? You know, why is it that we're so used to hearing that? Why is that such a high prevalence in our society? And it's because we as humans aren't doing the work to deal with our pain, right? So hurt people hurt people, free people free people, you know, it's that simple. And so unless you're figuring out how to free yourself, then we're hurting others.
True. Just like love, I think we need love and compassion towards one another.
And but we can't do it until we're doing it for ourselves.
Exactly. It begins from the inside. Everything emanates from within us. Every thought, you know, is coming from the inside. It doesn't really matter the person. The person may stir up something, but it's coming from our insides.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is realizing that our, and that's why I work with the personal life, you know, what's going on at home. I help people deal with their relationships with themselves, with their spouses or partners and their children, right? Because those people who are closest to you are our deepest teachers. Those are our triggers, right? Like, you're not going to trigger me the way that my husband's going to trigger me. And rather than blame him and hate him and wish him away, like, I get to say, oh, this is my stuff. Being with you is going to trigger my stuff to come out. And so now I have the opportunity to look at it and to deal with it and take care of it and love it and move through it. Because if I don't have these people who are closest to me, who are triggering all of my frustration and my impatience and my fears and my stress or my anger, if I don't have them triggering me, then I don't get to do my work.
Mm. And so if you have that inner, do the inner work, as you said, and it takes you to realize it and have the, I guess I would say, have the courage to face those things that cause us discomfort. Because anytime we grow, it's uncomfortable.
Right, totally.
It's uncomfortable. So we can do it on our own, or life itself could force us to have to make it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, I went to some Oprah event once, and she, I love this, I don't even know it was her quote, but she was talking about how life gives you moments. It's like drip, drip, drip. And unless you're dealing with the drips, most people are ignoring the drips and trying to avoid the drips and not deal with it, right? But if you keep ignoring it, eventually it's going to be a full flood. You know, that's going to, the roof is going to come crashing down. You're going to be forced to deal with it. It's not going away just because you're not dealing with it. So the real habit and the real intention is how to deal with things when they're small, when they're just a drip, and these moments, and being aware of, here is this anger, or here is this sadness, or here is this discomfort. How am I going to deal with it? And to deal with it as it comes, so it doesn't build up. I often talk about with my clients, like, our inner space is like a messy room, right? Is that if it's really piled up, you're struggling to survive and get through it. And so we need to do the work to clean out the room and put everything in its place. And then you need to have a practice in place to keep it clean and to deal with it as it comes, because otherwise it just happens again.
Yeah. You know what happens when, oftentimes when the drips, we put buckets there. We put buckets there until life forces us to change the roof.
Exactly. Really need the roof.
Yeah, so I definitely get that. The inner work is so important. You know, the first time I heard the term meditation, I thought it was some mystical stuff. And I was like, oh, no way on earth I'm going to be doing any meditation, until I understood that meditation is so powerful. And I think we do it even unawares, but oftentimes it's something that we're meditating on in a negative light. I'm just talking generally speaking. But meditation is such a powerful tool that could help facilitate change in our lives.
For sure. And most people who are like, I can't meditate, I'm not good at meditation. And I think that's the real misunderstanding, is that it's not about being good at it. Your mind could wander the entire time. It's not a successful meditation necessarily, right? The idea is to practice it. The real success is the doing it, right? It's not, I don't see the results of the meditation, so I'm not going to do it, right? It's like you brush your teeth every day because you want your teeth to stay clean, right? You don't decide like, oh, well, I don't need to do this because I'm not good at it. You know, it's like, this is a practice that we do every day, and it helps us clear out our inner space and helps us pause our lives and be with ourselves instead of constantly avoiding what's going on inside of us.
True. You mentioned earlier about your book. I know you've written two books. What are the titles of it?
One is Extraordinary Mommy, A Loving Guide to Mastering Life's Most Important Job. And the other is Extraordinary You, Master Your Feelings, Master Your Life. And I have both the books, but they also have online courses on my website as well that are in conjunction with the books. So the mommy book is really the 10 nuggets of parenting that I received from my mom, and how she was able to show up the way that she did so that me and the rest of us can work towards being the types of parents our children truly need. And then the other one, Extraordinary You, is all about learning how to deal with your uncomfortable feelings, your stress, your anxiety, your overwhelm, all of the feelings that we're not taught how to deal with. I really believe that humankind suffers because we don't know how to deal with our pain. And that if we had actual skills and strategies to do so, one of which would be meditation, then our whole vibration of humanity changes and everything improves. So having mothers be able to deal with their inner experience is part of this mission of mine, but all of us in general. And so the idea of this book and this course is kind of a be your own therapist book, which is taking all the strategies and skills that I use in sessions with my clients so that people can do it for themselves.
Great. That sounds like it adds great value to people. And I think that should be our mission. Whatever we have, whatever gifts and skills that we have, if we think about it as serving humanity, we will benefit from it, of course, which we should. But it's just an enriching thing when we receive something that's a passion from someone else.
Yeah, no, it's true. And everyone's got them, you know? So it's just a matter of all of us sharing them.
Yes, yes, definitely. So I know you touched a little on body image. Have you been able to help a lot of people deal with body image issues as well?
Yeah, actually, that is a big issue, particularly because my clientele is often women. So that's a big one for particularly dealing with we have negative thoughts, and then we have uncomfortable feelings, and a lot of people try to control their food and their body as a way to feel better. And so I have a whole process for learning how to listen better to your body and learning how to be a more conscious eater and learning how to honor what your body truly needs so that you're not feeling the forever not good enough. I need to be skinny. We have so much negative self-talk in this society, and everything is geared toward making you feel bad about yourself. It's all framed like you can feel good with this, but it's essentially assuming that we all already feel bad. So it's learning how to actually be okay with yourself. And interestingly enough, I have clients who have lost up to 50 pounds. I have a client who lost 50 pounds by just changing her self-talk. You know, it's because when you talk negatively, I have one who lost 50, one who lost 30, but just changing the way that they talk to themselves, because when you talk mean to yourself, you don't even realize it. And then you feel bad. And when you feel bad, you go for your drug of choice, right? So if you aren't dealing with the negative feeling, then you end up using your drug of choice. Some people it's food, some people it's drinking, some people it's whatever. So when you can get to that source and really deal with the feeling, then the weight starts to fall off, because you're learning how to actually soothe and take care of and honor the feelings directly instead of using whatever mechanism that you have to avoid dealing with it.
True. So food is never the problem, or the things, our vices is not the problem. It's our inner talk, our inner, the things that we're saying to ourselves, as you said.
And the feelings that result from it, right? It's twofold, your thoughts and your feelings. They do a nice little dance in there.
Yes, definitely. Whatever we say, we're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. You know, just as someone speaking to us and the inflection, or just the what's behind it, definitely gives that fuel to whatever those words are, and those feelings just come envelop us and just take over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know also relationships. So I know relationships is something that as a society, we definitely need to work on, because I know it's over divorces, over 50% divorce rate in the United States. And that's just showing us that something is wrong, something we're not doing correctly, because everybody, when they began a relationship, usually, not all cases, but they are quote unquote in love, whatever that means. But yet when obstacles come into the picture, sometimes they just decide to just break away?
Well, I think that there's two main issues there. One is that the process and the understanding that people have in terms of choosing a partner, I think isn't always the healthiest one. And so I have a theory that people often choose partners based on what they think that they want or who's good on paper. Whereas in truth, we have five fundamental ways in which we can connect with a partner, and that we need to figure out how to feel fully satisfied in each of those five fundamental ways. So one would be physical, right? But it's not just sex. It's how you feel physically when you're in their presence. One is spiritual. How can you be fully spiritually connected with this person on the level that you require? Intellectual, are they smart enough for you? Do you have a meeting of the minds? Emotional, can you actually cry? Can you feel heard? Can you feel vulnerable with them? And then the last one is lifestyle, right? If you were to be dropped off in the way that they eat and the way that they sleep and their friends, is that comfortable for you? And oftentimes, I think through dating, you can look back at your relationships and say, oh, I was with that person because we connected in these three of those five ways, but we didn't make sense for these five ways. And so a lot of times people are choosing partners based in things that they think that they want, but they're not really clear about what they truly need. And so people who are single, I'm very apt in helping them get very clear about what it is that they need and how to actually attract that. But then the people who are in relationships, I think also have a misnomer of how it's supposed to be. Equally, like we think we're supposed to be happy on the inside and something's wrong with us if we're not. Relationships aren't always happy and aren't always comfortable. And that's where the most of our growth comes from and the most of our learning comes from. And so when we have a perspective towards relationships as this person is my teacher, this person is bringing out all the things that I'm supposed to be learning, then the shift changes from what's wrong with them and why didn't they take out the laundry to why am I so affected by them not doing the laundry? You know, what is it about me that's making me not have compassion for them or not understand their stress? What is making me feel lack of love or understanding for somebody else? Where am I feeling empty? How do I take care of myself? Right. So both in terms of finding the relationship, we have a lot of learning to do. And in terms of being in the relationship, there's so many opportunities for growth. So those are two components that I really specialize in.
That sounds really good. I know that I've heard people say as well, we attract into our lives what's going on within us as well.
Right, exactly. We keep getting the same lessons over and over and over. So unless we, with the drips, right? It's like, you've all of a sudden you're like, wait, are you exactly like my mom? Are you exactly like my dad? Yeah, of course. These are your lessons. Your soul is here. You're going to learn these lessons whether or not you want to. You're just going to keep being faced with the same lessons until you stop and start learning them and paying attention.
Yeah, right. So, also, is this the name of your company, Life Therapy?
My company is called Jasmine Balance, but the modality that I invented is called Life Therapy, which is an integration of traditional psychotherapy and coaching with more Eastern philosophies and practices like mindfulness and meditation.
Great. That is wonderful. So what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
My website has everything. It has my courses, it has my books, it has signing up for sessions, it has all my, you know, my YouTube and my Instagram and all the videos and the free content and you name it, it's there. So I'm sure you will put my website in this podcast, but it's jasminetarani.com, JASMINTERRANY.com. It's also jasminebalance.com if that's easier.
Great. So what's your one to grow on? Meaning, what valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
That you are enough and that you're perfect and whole just as you are, and that you were born perfect, and that as an infant, you're perfect and you're worthy of love from the moment that you took your first breath, without having done or achieved anything, and that we all are, and that our truest success is truly knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.